I'm joined on the line by Nicola Tookie from the Department of Conservation, who has a regular slot on RNZ National, introducing us to one native species each week. In the early days, I thought she'd run out after a couple of months, but it's been how long, Nick?
I think we're coming up to 5 years. Yep.
Amazing.
5 years of entertaining the masses on the wonders of our wildlife.
So well over 200 critters, probably closing in on 250. And we do all sorts, really. We do insects and other non-charismatic species. We've done fungi, we've done flowers, and it's not often, actually, that we've done a saltwater fish.
No. So I thought, particularly after last week's stony coral episode, which, apologies again for the singing,
right.
We should stick to the ocean. And there was that movie that you claim to have never seen, that really obscure one called Finding Nemo. That's obviously
a little independent thing. I think it came through at one of the film festivals a couple of years back.
I think so, yeah. So we'll stick under the water. And I particularly love this one because it is one of New Zealand's only fully protected species of ocean fish, and it is the spotted black groper, which, had you heard of before?
Well, I've heard of a groper. I wasn't sure about the spelling because this is spelled G-R-O-U-P-E-R, which sounds like you should say a grouper. But of course, I know there's a fish called a groper, but this is not that groper that I probably know.
No, that's right. And so we kind of trick ourselves a little bit in New Zealand because we call a hapuku in a base a groper, and that's, you know, spelt like it's an offensive thing, action, offensive verb of a bad thing you might do to someone else. But no, you're right. So this is officially, so hapuku and base, we call them groper, but they're not groper at all. They're from an entirely different family of fish, which are known as wreck fish. So I think it's just one of those things where it looks similar, and so we've given it the name, but it isn't actually the same thing. And we had it a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the mason wasp, which turned out to be the mason bee.
Yeah.
Or the other way around.
Yeah, so, that's a problem with human beings. They don't really, like, check every time they use the word whether it's correct or not. If it feels right, they do it, and suddenly it becomes
the thing
through usage. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's an interesting misnomer because we are such a country of fishermen and fisherwomen, so it probably stuck quite quickly. But no, so we are talking about the official grouper, which is the spotted black grouper. Really interesting. I am always a fan of record breakers when it comes to the natural world. And I think most people are, you know, people like things if they are the smallest, the largest, the cutest, or the grossest, which is pretty much, I think, how we've got away with the last 5 years.
Yeah, that's right. I remember the first time I was introduced to the kakapo, it was, I believe, described as the world's most voluminous parrot.
Voluminous. That's brilliant. Yes, it is. That's rather euphemistic because I would suggest that they're stirring on the side of tubby in the middle of the breeding season. A kakapo can go from an average weight of 2 kilos to 4 kilos. So I think saying voluminous is like sort of like saying big boned. But
hey, I am big boned. On behalf of the big boned people out there, it's a real thing.
Being big boned.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll go with that. But this fish, the groper, is really neat because it's one of the biggest. So it can grow up to 2 metres long and can weigh upwards of 80 kilograms, which I particularly love.
Yeah, it's surprising that it's not better known, right? Because you would know all about it if you ran into one, and it tends to hang out in the shallows.
Yeah, so I think if you're a diver or a snorkeler and you hang out in sort of northern New Zealand, they are particularly well known in the Kermadec Islands Marine Reserve, but you can also see them around Three Kings and around the east coast of Northland. Then, you know, you'll know about them. I know that they have on occasion frequented Poor Knights Marine Reserve, which, by the way, have you ever been to the Poor Knights?
No, I'm not very good with water, so I haven't been that intrepid. Carry on.
Oh, so you need to go out and spend a day with Dive Tu Te Kaka on Perfect Day, I think their boat's called. I went years ago with a bunch of kids from Whananaki School, and we went snorkeling. My favourite kind of anecdote about the Poor Knights is that Jacques Cousteau, in his heyday, described it as one of the top 10 dive spots in the world. Even if you're not particularly good at the ocean, they have a really, really great, and since we're all into domestic tourism now, they have a really great operation out of Tu Te Kaka, and you learn heaps, and you don't have to be extreme. You can just like float around with a pool noodle if you want, putting your face
that
in the
sounds
water.
Like more like me. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And as soon as you put your face in the water, you just it's an assault on the senses.
When I went to Little Barrier, I took a snorkel and flippers, and I'd never done it before, really, and everyone else knew what they were doing, and it went okay. I had a few sort of panicky moments, and then I came back onto shore, and I said, well, that was kind of cool for a first snorkel, and they said, yeah, probably one tip we'd have is don't put your flippers on until you actually get into the water, because I had walked all the way from the dock hut to the water's edge, including over this massively rocky shore. It had taken me about 90 minutes. And so that was a tip that would have been good beforehand.
Oh, bless. I'm surprised by that. So I had a childhood where we used to spend our summer holidays in a tiny little old army hut crib thing up in the Marlborough Sounds. And my brother and I, I'm surprised we didn't bloody grow gills or webbing between our fingers and toes. So we would just snorkel around off the edge of a little jetty there for hours and hours and hours and hours all day long. So you need to give it another crack, maybe, but yeah.
I enjoyed it. A lot of transaction time.
So back to the spotted black grouper. So these fish are pretty amazing, right? So they're 2 metres long, and they, like I said, they weigh upwards of 80 kilograms. So that's a human-sized fish, which is pretty neat, and they are really, really territorial. They stick to the same reef, and they can live for maybe 100 years. I was looking into how big they are, and sort of what is bigger than them, and I came up with the ocean sunfish. I'm just going to deviate slightly to the ocean sunfish.
Please do. That's what this slot is all about.
Do you know, Sam and Erica, who prepare this stuff in advance, just I know that they'll be exasperated right now because they work so hard coming up with all this info. And they're like, and then you and Jesse just go on crazy tangents.
Yeah, but I think we have a nice balance.
My crazy tangent today is related. So the ocean sunfish, which is not the spotted black grouper, is one of the heaviest known bony fishes in the world. They can weigh anywhere, an adult mola mola or sunfish can weigh anywhere between 250 and 1,000 kilograms. And we had one wash up at the start of level 2 when my team finally went outside and started getting back into their work. And I have a picture of one of my team lying next to a sadly dead ocean sunfish on the beach. And the
where have you put
bigger.
That? Is that on your Instagram or your Twitter or something?
No, but I might put it up because it's pretty incredible. It's not a vertically challenged ranger, and he's lying next to this fish, which is pretty much the same size as him. So back to our grouper, though. They are, like I said, they're protected in New Zealand, fully protected. So it's legal to hunt, kill or harm a spotted black grouper within all of the territorial sea and the EEZ. So that's 200 nautical mile limit around New Zealand. And if you were to be crazy enough to break the law and kill one of these amazing creatures, the fine is up to $250,000 and potentially 6 months imprisonment. But presumably people wouldn't do that. Most divers and spearfishers and snorkelers know that these things are protected and have been for a really long time. But also these fish are quite placid and quite curious, and so they'll come up to you and have a wee look at you. They won't eat you because they only eat little small reef fish, little shrimps, crabs, little crayfish. that they, it would be the equivalent, really, of coming face-to-face with an elephant on the African plains, wouldn't it? So pretty neat. It's a pretty neat experience. And the other cool thing about them is that they change colour. So they are this kind of neat black and white spotted kind of with sort of bands down the side, sort of coloration. And it can be anywhere from sort of dark grey to really banded black and white. But they can change their colour while you're swimming and watching them, which is pretty amazing.
So, yes, I am now regretting replying to Erica's email introducing me to this week's Critter of the Week. I replied saying, is it wrong that I feel hungry? But I can clearly see now that it's not the thing to do when you see one of these fish.
No, it is very, very wrong. They're also found in some of Australia's sort of semi-tropical waters. And in Australia, they've got plenty of data to demonstrate that actually they were quite badly affected by fishing and spear fishing. So, you know, it's not very sporting though, is it? I mean, even if it's clearly not legal here, but it would be like, I don't know, shooting a still bus or something like that.
And hunting on the weekend, what did you catch? Oh, trolley bus, Island Bay.
Yeah.
It was just parked there, mate. Easy pickings.
Easy pickings. So there are three features about this fish that I just absolutely love. So their size, their colour-changing abilities, so that's obviously a superhero feature, and they can change their sex. So they start off as females, but when they reach a metre long, they switch to be males. That's brilliant.
Talk about burying the lead.
Right. Well, I just think, you know, in this modern corporate world that we live in, despite all our best attempts at diversity, sometimes it would be really handy, I think, for your career progression to be able to switch over around the table.
Right. You think these gropers are changing gender to break through the glass ceiling and get ahead in the corporate underwater world?
I think that is my theory. So, fact.
Oh, would that be pretty unknown in the animal kingdom?
No, to be fair, a lot of species of fish do that. So they start as females and switch to males or vice versa. Yeah, it's a pretty cool strategy, really. And particularly, you know, you think about the Middlemarch bull where they truck in females from all over New Zealand because there's too many blokes in the area and not enough girls. Wouldn't it be far more simple to just be able to flick some kind of genetic switch and then even the odds?
You ever get on the bus for that Middlemarch bull?
No, I did not. So moving on, love this one. Anybody who has the opportunity to get their face in the water, try snorkeling. Maybe Google it, do some YouTube videos a little bit beforehand so you don't end up, traipsing across large areas of terrain with your flippers on like Jesse. You may find yourself face to face with this most beautiful creature.
Lovely. I'm so pleased that you introduced us to this beautiful fish. Well, beautiful, that's for you to say, really. How would you rate its attractiveness on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, a lot of women around the world pay a lot of money for lips like that, so I'm giving it a 7.5, and it can change colour.
Great. 7.5 out of 10. You can appraise the fish for yourself online, rnz.co.nz/Jesse. Nicola Tookie from the Department of Conservation, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jesse.